Hello and welcome to another episode of Gemstone Mine. I'm John and we have another multifaceted episode for you this week. So our multifaceted episodes are kind of the episodes where I do a lot less editing and just kind of pick a topic that I think is interesting, a commander that I think is really cool, or a card I may want to try to build around, and try to do an episode on that. This week I want to revisit something that we had discussed before with what makes a commander good. And I want to use an example from Streets of New Capenna, which, as far as the release schedule with Magic products right now goes, may as well be ancient history, but I think there are still some really interesting cards to be taken from this set. The card I want to take a multifaceted look at this week is Raphine, Scheming Seer. This is a 1/4 legendary creature Sphinx Demon with flying and ward 1. And whenever you attack, target attacking creature connives X, where X is the number of attacking creatures. Raphine is a really interesting piece of design. From the player's standpoint, it's pretty clear she has a number of aspects going on that make her really strong. In particular, she gives us something that is one of the things that CEDH decks often look for in a commander. They give you an access to card advantage from the command zone. Raphine's card advantage comes in the form of connive, which is basically looting. Looting is an old-fashioned term. Basically, you draw a certain number of cards, then discard that same number of cards. So ultimately, you wind up at the same number of cards in hand when all is said and done, but you've had a significant amount of filtering and card selection. Raphine also deserves special notice here because she basically provides all the setup cost you really need to be effective. Simply having Raphine on the battlefield means the next turn when you attack with her, you'll draw a card, then discard a card. And if you discard a non-land card, you get to put a +1/+1 counter on Raphine. In this case, it's an interesting question. If you decide to pitch a real card, Raphine gets to hit a little bit harder. If you're attacking with multiple creatures, on the other hand, if you've managed to get things set up where you have multiple evasive creatures to swing in with, Raphine, or really any one of those creatures, can get very big very quickly, which is pretty cool. Raphine also comes in with her own form of evasion and flying, meaning there is usually going to be at least one person who Raphine can attack pretty profitably for you. In addition, Ward 1, it's just really nice. It's an extra tax for anybody who wants to target Raphine with targeted removal, which in a lot of modern Commander metagames is the de facto way to take care of creatures. Yes, people are still running sweepers, but in general people are scaling down the number of sweepers in exchange for more efficient interaction. A lot of the obvious comparison we could make to Raphine in terms of her setup cost is that she wants to have other creatures available to attack with. The wording on her ability is whenever you attack, which means Raphine herself does not need to attack to actually get you the payoff. Presumably, if you had a creature already in play, you could cast Raphine on turn 3 and then attack with a creature who you already controlled, immediately conniving, making that creature potentially bigger but still getting a loot off. I think the obvious comparison here is going to be to some of the C16 commanders, particularly Chrom, Timna, and Thrasios, I think are the best comparison. Timna is probably the most likely comparison here. She is one a black and a white for a 2/2 legendary creature human cleric with partner, lifelink, and at the beginning of your post-combat main phase, you may pay X life, where X is the number of opponents that were dealt combat damage this turn. If you do, draw X cards. Timna has rightly been compared to having Necropotence that you can cast from the command zone, letting you turn a small amount of life each turn into additional cards in hand. Thrasios also deserves a comparison here. Thrasios is green and a blue for a 1/3 legendary creature merfolk wizard with partner and 4, scry 1. Then reveal the top card of your library. If it's a land card, put it onto the battlefield tapped, otherwise draw a card. Thrasios often gets used as a infinite mana outlet type of card, but in a lot of value Thrasios type decks, it's very common to hold up mana for interaction and then dump that mana into Thrasios at the beginning of the end step before your turn so that you can load up on cards or potentially play lands essentially for free if you did not have any need for that mana on other turns. Timna and Thrasios are kind of our two archetypal, generically good card advantage in the command zone partners. And Raphaën has some similarities, but also some differences. And I want to hone in on those differences today to try to describe what makes a commander good. We know Timna and Thrasios are still both very, very good commanders. If you have them in your command zone, you have a lot of access to card advantage. Raphaën also has a lot of access to card advantage. And Raphaën has some trade-offs when you compare it to Timna, if we're going to say that Timna is our gold standard for card advantage in the command zone. First of all, comparing the two of them, while they both cost 3 mana, and Raphaën gets a little bit of evasion in the form of flying, Raphaën has a much harder mana cost, in spite of the only difference being that Timna costs 1 a white and a black, while Raphaën costs blue, black, white. That extra colored mana pip is actually very difficult to try to make work. The issue is that having your third mana cost be a colored mana means that you're limiting yourself from a lot of ways that you can get Timna online early. If, for example, you have a Jeweled Lotus, basically any land that taps for a white or a black will let you cast Timna right away. Almost any one of your mana dorks, if you are in a Timna deck that includes green, they can pay for that generic cost and get Timna down a turn early. Timna's really easy to get in play. Raphaën takes more work, though. Oftentimes, unless you are playing a CEDH deck with a lot of zero mana rocks, such as Mox Diamond, or Chrome Mox, or Mox Opal, it can be difficult to get three different colors of mana ahead of curve, in this case getting it by turn two to cast Raphaën early. Raphaën is likely going to come down later as a result of that mana cost, and that is actually a really nice piece of design. Now, I'm not saying that Raphaën is going to be a late game commander. She's going to come down early, and she's going to generate a lot of value for her controller. No two ways about it. But compared to someone like Timna, there is a cost associated with that extra colored mana pip in her cost. Next, not a lot gets made of the fact that Raphaën has Ward 1. Ward is a really, really cool little mechanic that forces anybody who targets it, in this case Raphaën, to need to pay an additional mana or have their spell countered. Timna lacks this, and tacking an additional cost onto almost any removal spell can actually be fairly detrimental, and a ward cost of 1 is more detrimental the more aggressively costed decks at the table are. Basically, the closer you are to CEDH, the more that ward 1 really does matter. Next, I mentioned that Raphaën gets a bit of extra evasion as compared to Timna. Raphaën is able to fly in and generally will always have someone available at the table who she can aggressively attack and get you some value from. Timna, on the other hand, in order to maximize, needs to attack as many players as possible. Timna herself does not have any form of evasion, and oftentimes the board can get gummed up to the point where Timna is no longer drawing you cards. Even in modern CEDH, most of the time people are able to get blockers up for Timna. She's been around long enough that most people know how to handle her. Raphaën, on the other hand, can continue to trigger every single turn. Now, there is a definitive difference between drawing extra cards and looting. Drawing cards is really nice because it means you have more cards in hand and more options. Looting is not quite as good. It's still better than scrying because you've got to see extra cards and then go deeper into your deck. Yes, you have to discard, and if all of your cards are so good that it's painful to decide what to discard, it's a wonderful problem to have. Oftentimes, you'll be able to make do just fine with having the best 7 cards from your deck, and just like with Raphaën, oftentimes, even if you're only drawing one extra card a turn, even if it's worse than everything else in your hand, it's worth it to just discard the card. One of the old truisms in Limited Magic is if you have a free looter, you loot every turn. Even if it means you're going to discard the card you just saw off the top deck, still worth it because it's accelerated your ability to get through your deck. Raphaën does depend on having multiple attackers, and it does have a higher ceiling potentially than Timna, as you could potentially attack with 10 creatures, connive 10, and then see the top 10 cards of your library, and then discard 10 cards from your hand. That's really good. Timna, on the other hand, maxes out at drawing 3 additional cards. That value is still really, really good. And as I mentioned, Timna's actually going to put you up on cards, while Raphaën is going to keep you at card parity overall. Refain being able to discard cards can also be a bit of an advantage. If you decide to go with a more interesting route with something like a Reanimator deck, which Refain is in good colors for, don't get me wrong on that, Refain is able to get those creatures that you want to reanimate into the graveyard. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, during an episode where I talked about, among other cards, Abdel Adrian, that one of the difficulties with that card is getting it into the graveyard if you're going to go with an Orzhov build with the deck. Well, potentially, if you decide this is the win con you want, you could put Abdel Adrian in your 99, discard it using the loot effect off of Refain, and then just go about your win as planned with Abdel Adrian using something like Animate Dead, and you got it right there. If you want to know more about this potential deck, see our episode on Command Fest Philadelphia for details. Once you land Refain, she is generally going to be able to attack on most boards, so it's unlikely that Refain will be on a table where she can't draw you cards. That is still really, really nice. Now, the downside to Refain compared to Timna is that Timna is essentially a commander in exactly the four colors you want, whereas Refain is only Esper. If you want, you can play a green-blue-white-black deck with Thrasios and Timna, still many consider to be the gold standard for four-colored partner decks in CEDH. You could also partner Timna with a blue-red commander like Krom, and then you have Blue Farm, which some people consider to be the gold standard for best four-color partner pair in CEDH. There's a lot of options. Refain cannot get you access to green or to red, no matter what you do, unless you're running her in the 99. Now, something that is kind of nice with both Timna and Refain is that they increase tension in the deck building with them in some interesting ways. Both of them want to have additional creatures in the deck. So sometimes a lot of your slots that you would devote to pure card draw may instead be replaced with marginal utility creatures who had the upside of being able to turn sideways. In the classic Timna deck, this is paired with Thrasios, so that way you have a lot of green mana dorks who can cast Timna turn early, and then when their mana abilities are no longer relevant, swing into the red zone to potentially draw additional cards. That will also sometimes see Timna paired with Tana the Bloodsower, so making the deck green, red, white, black. Classic Blood Pod, this usually leans into larger, slightly, stack spares, 2/2s, which are a little bit better at swinging in than 1/1s. Some interesting options when you're running Timna. Refain is fairly similar in that it wants to have creatures, but unlike Timna, it doesn't have access to green, which is kind of the creature color. Both decks want you to go a little bit wide, but Timna asks for less in terms of how wide you need to go to pay off. You just need to be able to hit each of your opponents, not necessarily overwhelm them. Refain, on the other hand, requires less of setup from your opponents. As long as one person is open, you can probably make hay with your Refain trigger, but it does require you to go wider if you really want to get value off of it. It's nice because Refain does give you the option to beef up one of your creatures who may not be able to survive combat otherwise, which is something I honestly didn't even think of till I was looking at the card for this episode. Overall, I think Refain is a really interesting commander. I want to do something with it at some point, but I have a couple of other brews in Esper that I want to mess around with first. I think that trying to revisit an Esper Reanimator deck, which is something I've tried to do in the past, would be really, really cool. I like that design space. It could let me mess around with a personal favorite card, which I'll have to do another episode on at some point. But Refain serves as a really interesting model for what you can do within Commander to identify what could make a commander really potentially strong, as well as what limitations may not be obvious when you're looking at the commander in the first place. I'm pretty sure that a lot of people who looked at Refain early on probably had an easy time recognizing that this is going to be a powerful commander. Being able to really verbalize why that is can make you better overall at trying to analyze new commanders, understanding which ones may be just powerful, and which ones may be the ones that really get your juices flowing to brew a new deck. What do you think? Analyze another commander for us, and tell us, like, what about that commander drew you to them, or what about them makes them really sneakily powerful. You can let us know in the comments on YouTube, where we are Gemstone Mind Podcast, You can add us on Twitter, where we are at GemstoneMineMTG, or you can send us an email, gemstonemindpodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, I'm John, and this is Gemstone Mine.